This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to This Day in History, a podcast dedicated to examining history from a standpoint of determining which event on any given day had the greatest impact on our lives. Now your host, Tony Hubert and Armand Kachigian.
Welcome into This Day in History on lineupmedia.fm. Tony Hubert here with you, my partner Armand Kachigian, as we bring you today's date, August the 8th. Man, we've got one of the most iconic photographs of all time to discuss today, one of the great heists of all time to discuss today, a couple decent birthdays, one big death, I think. I think Armand's going to be all over this death, hard to say. And, well, we got the day that...
They didn't have Dick Nixon to kick around anymore.
They kicked him in the dick one last time. In fact, one of the most iconic photographs and one of the most...
Is that the one you're talking about?
Nope. Because I consider that a piece of video. I consider that a piece of film.
I wish you'd have just given everybody the finger instead of...
Would that have been something?
Well, here you go.
We'll talk about that coming up. We are brought to you by Amazon.com and by Audible.com. And whenever we have a suggestion for you, which Armand has many and good ones, and there's plenty of good book and movie suggestions coming out
of today's show,
go to thisdayinhistorypodcast.com, click on that Amazon or Audible banner, and pick up what Armand tells you to pick up.
Yeah,
you
bagged $4.49 the other night.
Hey, congrats. You're 51 away from your big cake.
I'm getting there.
There you go.
Inching towards that milestone. Well,
inch warming, I should... I didn't mean that as
about
some euphemism.
Stop it.
I got a bunch of questions about some of our events today, too.
I don't know if I can answer them. I have my cell phone, though.
All right. Good for you. 1503, Armand, is where I begin a little marriage nuptial between a king of Scotland.
Isn't that redundant?
Marriage nuptials? It's a nuptial. It's just a nuptial, or it's just a marriage.
It's a marriage nuptial with the bands.
King James IV of Scotland gets himself betrothed to Margaret Tudor, daughter of King Henry VII.
Yeah. And actually granddaughter of, let's see, how does this go? This is kind of weird. Her granddaughter is Mary Queen of Scots.
There you go.
And her grandson is Mary Queen of Scots' husband, Lord Darnley. Uh-huh. They were first cousins.
Uh-huh. Yep. Kissing cousins.
Yeah, well, this was all because of Perkin Warbeck.
We've talked about him. Perkin Warbeck.
Yeah, who thought, well, you know, the guy who claimed to be Richard in the Tower, young Richard, son of Edward V. Of course, he wasn't. But the Scots, they didn't give a shit. They supported him. And in order to kind of suppress that kind of thing, Henry VII married off his daughter to James IV, and it's the beginning of the Acts of Union and all that, which came in 1707. Of course, King James VI, you know, James V's son, James VI was king of England and Scotland.
Pre-Union.
James Stuart.
Yeah.
That was before the Union.
Hell of a deal if you can get it.
It's nice to be king of two countries.
Was anyone ever king of three countries?
I don't know about that. I don't know.
You know, like France, England, and Scotland, or some weirdo combination of?
Well, Henry VIII ruled a lot of stuff. You know, I mean, Charlemagne, he had all kinds of...
Well, that's true.
So, I don't know what you can consider. Trajan, man, that guy.
Yeah, we're going to talk about him later.
He had plenty of kingdoms.
Sure did. Sure did. So that happens in 1503.
Yeah.
Holyrood Abbey.
Yeah. Well, they're already married by proxy, which is how I get laid.
By proxy.
Yeah. I have surrogates go bang.
That's how a lot of us.
Because I can't get any.
That's how a lot of us do it.
I send an agent into their beds.
Yeah. But, Justin Verlander is mine.
Justin, what?
Yeah.
Pardon me.
He's my proxy.
Oh.
He was with Kate Upton. See how that works?
He's getting fat.
No, stop it.
I've seen too many of those Hardee's burgers.
Oh, God.
Anyway, yeah, you omitted 1588, Battle of Gravelin.
Did I?
Yeah, I don't know why. It's a big deal, man.
Okay.
We talked about this. The Admiral, Sidonia Medina, and his armada.
He had an armada, too?
Same armada.
Oh.
He's the Admiral that's in command. Philip II's armada.
God, I thought there was another armada.
Well, there were four, actually, that sent against England, not the same time.
Not right.
But anyway, this one, they were supposed to dock and pick up the army. What's his name? Duke of Parma. He had an army, 55,000. They're going to invade England. Yeah, that would have been it.
Whoa.
Yeah. So anyway, these guys are all basically they attack this. They have that crescent. If you ever seen these maps of the Armada, they always form a crescent.
Yeah.
That was their little flotilla.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that was broken up in the channel. So these guys are a little scattered and discommoded, and they're swinging at anchor. They're all off the coast of wherever, I guess, Gravelin, which I think is modern-day
would that be Netherlands, modern day,
I guess.
Okay.
Well, I guess France. I don't think it's very far from Dunkirk, actually.
In the Benelux region?
I don't know. One of those wine countries.
Well, I mean, you know, Belgium.
No, you're talking
Luxembourg,
Benelux.
I call it Benelux.
Well, it's all on the coast, on the La Manche.
So they're way past Normandy. They're past the peninsula.
Normandy and Brittany and all that. Yeah,
okay.
They're closer, like I said, to Dunkirk and the Channel ports. And so we talked about it. The British come in, and they're lucky because they came on the windward side, so which means and here's the thing. They had the Spanish had a lot more men, but I think the English had more guns. Of course, Spanish guns were I think the Spanish had more guns, too. The English had more ships.
More ships?
But
okay.
The deal was the Spanish were still fighting like they were at Lepanto when they beat the Muslims. Fire a shot off, get in, and board the other ship. Well, the English were a little too maneuverable and quick for that.
You're right.
So, and the Spanish, unfortunately for them, couldn't reload very quickly. So they fire a shot, and their guns were so close to cannon. They had so many cannon on the deck.
Oh.
They're getting in each other's way, and the English are firing at
them. So rhythmic firing.
Yeah, they had a big problem. They could get one off, but that was it. And the English were maneuverable, so they kept their distance and let
them
fire.
So for true broadside volleys and everything like that, it was very hard for them to get coordinated.
Yeah, they couldn't reload and everything else. Like I said, they were fire and then board. But and we talked about how the English were on the windward side, so when the Spanish ships came up, they fired and hit them below the water lines, which is their tactic. Drake had captured a ship, and they actually were, I think it's called the Rosario or something, and they were actually like, they knew all these weaknesses because he was playing around with it, and they figured out how to conduct this. So anyway, Gravelin, they sent in fire ships, that too, that's how they broke up the fleet. Which is basically just a bunch of ships on fire and, scared the hell out of Spanish because they had explosives on them, too. So that's what broke them up, even though they didn't sink anything. But this is a big deal, man. This is what led to the Spanish Armada being that and, divine wind.
Yeah.
Basically broke it up. The weather helped. But they never did pick up the troops, the army.
Yeah, you got 55,000 guys sitting at a dock.
A lot of guys, man.
You know what kind of trouble they're going to get into? A lot. What? Are you okay there?
Yeah, I was just thinking about 55,000 guys in France.
Yeah,
syphilis. God.
Oh my God!
It was good for trade, though.
Oh, you gotta say some of the locals must have done really well.
Yeah, main French export. BJ's. Why don't you say that in French?
Well, I know it's not ménage à trois.
Look it up.
Voulez-vous goûter avec moi? That was probably said a lot if those fellows knew that phrase. French. 1863, Armand. Right after the Battle of Gettysburg, I learned something here. I never knew this happened.
I remember. I didn't know the exact time, but
yeah.
I know.
So I shouldn't say right after the Battle of Gettysburg. It's about a month after.
Wow, this
August
is kind
8th.
Of a neat way. Travail de soufflé.
Say what about your soufflé?
Travail de soufflé.
Huh.
Blowjob.
Huh.
But travail is work, isn't it? Travails. Right, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
but
a weird translation.
Souffle.
Yeah, souffle. Does that suck? Is that souffle?
I don't.
Is that what that
no,
means?
I don't. No, I don't think so.
Is that souffle? Isn't that suck?
You got me. Souffle. I think you must be reading
that
this
come
wrong.
From?
So anyway, back to the
Les chouis.
You really do wish you hate the French, but you wish you were French. I think that's my conclusion about you.
I don't. When I you know, let the French blow me.
Stop it. Following his, following that defeat at Gettysburg. Now, again, it's a month after the defeat, but news travels slowly, and so does the mail.
What are you talking about?
The Civil War. Robert E. Lee.
I wish he had given it up.
Sends a letter of resignation to Jefferson Davis.
Yeah.
I never knew this.
Oh, yeah, he should have.
Yeah. And
bungled it.
Davis refuses the resignation, of course. But two big bungles. One, Gettysburg. Two, the non-pursuit of Lee out of Gettysburg, which also could have ended the war on either July 4th, 5th, or 6th, had they followed them down the Shenandoah, right?
Who was that? That's Meade. Meade, yeah.
It's Meade.
General Meade. Yeah, he was a pussy, too. You know what he's doing.
Could have gone and got him. They have to hightail it out of Pennsylvania, southern Pennsylvania,
of course. Yeah, but, you know, maybe that turns out good because maybe they disperse and fight a guerrilla war like we've talked about.
Yeah.
They should have, and Meade gets chopped up like the British did.
Well, they may have had to change tactics.
Yeah,
you're right.
It would have been great.
We'll never know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, can you imagine Lee sitting down to pen that letter? Oof, that had to be rough.
He blew it.
Although he had to know it wasn't going to be accepted, right? It's like one of those honorable things to do.
Yeah, it's like when I invite, like, a girl to go to Chicago with me.
Because
I know she's not going.
Yeah.
So it's great to be invited.
Right, yeah. I invited you.
Yeah, God forbid they go with me.
1876, Edison gets his patent for the mimeograph.
About his 17,000th.
Now, who did he steal the mimeograph from?
I don't know. He stole everything else, I guess. I don't know. Ask Spencer Tracy. No, or Mickey Rooney. Young Thomas Edison.
What does a mimeograph exactly do?
Oh, remember those things you turn.
That's
the,
right.
Yeah,
they always
like
smelled great when the paper
the
came
ink,
off of it. Oh yeah, all the kids would sniff the paper.
Yeah, it's a copy machine.
Remember that scene in Fast Times at Ridgemont High where they walk in freshly mimeographed sheets, they pass them out.
Right.
All the kids pick them up in unison.
Oh, is that how it goes?
Yeah, I remember doing that.
I remember
in grade school
Animal House too. Remember
they get the sheet out of the trash.
Yeah, the trash. Bluto's down there. Gave him the wrong one. Four C's and an F.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. I think that was a mimeograph they used.
Yeah, well, it's got to be. Yeah, they got the carbon out.
Yeah.
It's essentially
whatever
did. Oh, man.
It's not one of his more inspired inventions, but it's not bad.
Yeah, that ink sure smelled good, though. I think we can all appreciate
that. Ticker
tape
machine.
1908. Now, this is another one that kind of caught me by surprise. Wilbur Wright.
He's the guy that killed somebody, though, right?
Makes his first flight at a race course. He does so in Le Mans, France, not in Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. This is the first time the Wright brothers do a public demonstration of flight.
Yeah.
And it's 1908.
Yeah, I know.
And they don't do it in America.
They
do it in France.
They killed that army guy in, like, was it 1909? 19. Wow. What was his name? Seacraft or something like that? The first guy killed.
What? Why the gap between Kitty Hawk? And
the thing only went like 100 feet.
Yeah, I know it only went 100.
They're perfecting it.
Okay, but still, can't we have some more public? This is the first public one, and they have to do it in France at a racetrack of all things?
Maybe
well,
they got a travers de soufflé.
No, I don't think they did get a travers de soufflé, or however you say
it's a
that.
Novel pronunciation.
Yeah.
Let me see.
Travers. So Wilbur and Orville over in France.
First man killed. I know it starts with an S. What the hell's that guy's name? But Wilbur killed him, I think. He was pretty screwed up, too.
From the accident?
Yeah, yeah. It was a bad one.
Because I'm guessing they nosedived right into the ground.
I wasn't there.
About the only thing you could do in that
thing.
What's
that guy's name? Selfridge. Thomas Ethelyn Selfridge.
Selfridge.
Yeah. First lieutenant in U.S. Army. Oh, he was with Wilbur. Or Orville.
Orville, okay.
All right.
Yeah. So, interesting to note. First time they do it publicly. Because how many
Wilbur died in 1912. I know he died young. That's why I thought he was in the crash.
How many people were at Kitty Hawk?
Dozen? I don't know. Did they have anybody over there?
Well, someone, I mean, they got a little.
Somebody take a picture?
They got pictures of it.
Okay.
You know.
I don't think they'll mount anything.
You don't think? You don't think aviation will catch on?
Useless in warfare.
Yeah, you're probably right.
If man were meant to fly.
He'd have wings.
Yeah.
Or he'd have one of these, Armand.
He'd be descended from the dinosaurs.
He'd have a Zeppelin. 1929, the Graf Zeppelin begins a round-the-world flight. You know what? I would have loved to travel on one of these Zeppelins.
That
seems like it'd been really, really cool. All right, and one more before we get to our birthdays today. This one I found interesting as well. On August 8th, 1945, the London Charter is agreed to.
Yeah.
And basically,
not by the Germans.
No, not by them. Basically, what this is the U.S., the United Kingdom, Great Britain, you know, Soviet Union, and France come together because it's time to put some Nazis on trial.
Yeah,
and
well,
they're going to
victors generally,
right?
Do.
They're going to establish the laws and the procedures for the upcoming Nuremberg trials. And here's basically the laws and the procedures: parade the Nazis in, let's hear some testimony, and then hang them.
Yeah, and happen to leave a cyanide capsule in the room.
Goering did cyanide. Yeah, and but Hess makes it through the trial.
That guy probably would have fallen right through. How you can find a rope big enough to hold that fat ass?
Yeah, double up, double noose.
I guess.
Are you allowed to double noose somebody?
Shoot him like Mata Hari, man.
She
took it like a man.
Maybe Goering wouldn't have.
I'd rather be shot.
Man. God, that's brutal. Just turn off the lights, man. I don't want to.
Remember the movie Judgment at Nuremberg?
Yeah,
yeah. Remember Marlene Dietrich's husband?
Mm-hmm.
She. This didn't happen on. You know, in the movie, but she talked about how he wanted to be shot like a soldier.
Yeah.
They hanged him anyway. She held a grudge.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
But anyway.
I mean, you want to die by guillotine, though. That's how you want to go. I think you've been on record saying that.
That's not a bad way to go, man. Yeah. No, I want to die of carbon monoxide. Put me in a garage and.
Oh, just fall asleep?
Start the whole engine up.
Oh.
That's the way to go.
I'll remember
like,
that.
Like Fred Astaire in On the Beach.
He did that?
Yeah. Remember that race car? He was revving up. We've got it now.
Oh, okay.
It's on our collection.
It's on your little collection.
It's on our pantheon. But, anyway, the guy in charge was Robert Jackson, which was, by the way, I think a $500,000 question on Millionaire.
Whoa.
When I was on the show like the first time and I didn't get in because of the fastest finger, the guy in the chair had that question.
Yeah.
And I knew it. And he had it down to two. You know, he took his 50-50.
Yes.
And he missed.
He missed on a 50-50?
Yeah.
Do you remember what the other option was?
Yeah, Felix Frankfurter. And he asked the audience.
I can see why he would pick Felix.
Yeah, because he's
Frankfurter,
heard that name.
Though.
He's never heard of Robert Jackson.
Exactly.
And so he asked the audience, and naturally,
they
a
say
strategy on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Yeah.
The audience is always wrong.
Mostly.
So it was like 2-1, they're wrong. Because why? Because every dumbass has heard of Felix Frankfurter, and it's kind of a neat name.
Well, and it's obviously a German name, too, so it maybe sounds like he would be.
Whatever. Yeah, he's the logical guy, whatever. But anyway, it was Robert Jackson.
Robert Jackson.
And the guy lost his money.
Yeah, that's a shame. All right, who was born today? August the 8th, 1170. You don't hear much about the 1100s, Armand. But St. Dominic was born on this date, founder of the Dominicans.
Don't care about him either.
No, you don't like any of these guys.
He invented champagne. What good is he?
He founded the Dominicans, though. Not a fan. You're not a fan.
That's your religion.
Okay,
not mine.
All right. I'm not sure you have a religion other than Armandism.
I have a religion. It's called Chase Manhattan.
Uh-huh.
Jamie Dimon is its prophet. Oh, yeah, by the way, I have a Paul Dirac today. We're going to talk about
okay,
it.
Okay, good.
You brought it up.
1879, Bob Smith. Now, that sounds like just an ordinary, plain old name.
Yeah, I know who he is now, yeah.
But he's a physician. He was also a surgeon, and he was the co-founder of Alcoholics Anonymous, AA.
I'm not sure how well this thing does. I guess it's okay. I mean, I don't know what their. I wonder what their success rate is.
Have you ever 12-stepped anything?
No.
That's a long process,
man. I
can't
take 12 steps. I fall.
I mean,
I lose my balance.
But what if? I mean,
I don't know. I don't have any addictions. The only thing I'm addicted to is lifting weights.
Okay.
I can't go without exercise.
If you truly alcoholism, are you on the weakness or disease? Sort of spectrum.
I think there's a genetic component to it, but it still doesn't mean it's not a weakness. I mean, we have a lot of genetic, you know, we know that certain things are bad for you.
Yeah.
Well, you don't do them. I mean, there's certain things I like that I just don't do. Now, this is, I don't know. I think it's part both.
Can you truly, I mean, going through that process, can
people beat it? I mean,
no, you can.
Okay,
no.
So, by definition, can you beat a disease by sheer willpower? I don't know. I don't think so.
It depends on what your definition of a disease is.
Well,
I think that's what it boils down to.
By thinking, like
right.
Cancer. Or,
I would, yeah, because you just can't think.
Yeah, think it away.
Think positive thoughts and the cancer's gone.
I don't think so. I don't think that means it's a disease. So,
but I don't classify it as just merely a weakness.
Which maybe you could probably say about
either.
Well, I didn't say it's a weakness. I just said it's something that's avoidable, like possibly homosexuality.
Well, but see, Armand, in that instance... You're not saying the person isn't homosexual. You're just saying they aren't acting upon it. Like, let's say if you decided from this day forward celibacy, right?
Oh, that's
celibacy. That doesn't make you homosexual, and it doesn't make you heterosexual. Just means
makes me awful sad.
Which just means you're not practicing, or not trying to engage in that activity. But
Okay. Drink alcohol, does that mean you're a non-alcoholic, or is that a choice too? I guess a choice. But
I mean, it can be, because lots of
people, if you have the gene and you don't drink,
lots of people choose not to drink. Right.
Yeah, but you could also have a choice to sleep with women or men or whatever. If you're, I don't know.
Well,
I'm not that that doesn't mean anything, though.
No,
I don't know if it really means anything.
It's just, well, there's, you know, because there's,
I don't
been
say, I don't condemn it, and I don't right. You know, whatever.
Darman, we're
do
not,
what you want to do.
We're not here to condemn or.
Oh, I am.
Or bless, or
of course I am. Damn and condemn.
Because I've heard multiple theories. One,
I don't damn people that are alcoholics.
No,
but I think it's, I don't know if you can call it a disease if you just say I'm not drinking. I mean, that's the end of it. That to me constitutes a disease where you have no choice.
But to get some sort of medical treatment.
Yeah. Okay.
Medical intervention.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. And not just 12 steps that don't involve a medical intervention.
Well, how would you classify syphilis then? Because that's a disease.
Yes, it's an acquired.
You can't cure it.
It's an acquired disease.
It's avoidable. Of course, a lot of things
are
avoidable.
Yeah, it's avoidable because you can choose not to act, or not to act with that person if you know they have it.
Yeah. Well, I don't have any problem. Like I said, yeah, some people are going to be alcoholics. A lot of it comes from, you know, your parents.
Yep.
You're exposed to it. Who knows what? So I don't say don't treat them or show them no sympathy.
Right.
So I don't think it matters. Let's put it that way. Treat it.
There you
it's
go.
It's tragic.
1879, Emiliano Zapata, the Mexican general and politician.
This guy fought more Mexican rulers. Who did he go after? Madero, four or five in a row. This guy just couldn't. Huerta. He couldn't.
He wasn't happy.
Man, he didn't like any of them.
I know.
And they didn't like him. They finally got him, man.
Viva Zapata.
Remember the end of that movie?
No.
Marlon Brando's all hunched over in the middle of the square, and they just unloaded
they
on
unload
him.
They unload on him,
that's pretty
yeah.
much the way it was, too.
Ugh.
He had a nice mustache.
What a way to go.
But it was a happy ending, because Anthony Quinn won the Academy Award for playing his brother. This guy allied with Villa for a while, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good movie. John Steinbeck wrote that screenplay.
Yeah, he wrote the screenplay.
And it was, what's his name?
What year? Give me a year. 54?
52?
Okay.
What's his name? Who's the guy that directed it? The guy that everybody hated because
Ilya Kazan.
Yeah, because he squealed on everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, because that guy was on a roll, by the way. Kazan had Streetcar, Viva Zapata, On the Waterfront.
Baby Doll. That was a good one.
I mean, he had a whole bunch of critically acclaimed films to this day. And the Academy does not acknowledge him at all.
Well, he's like the Pete Rose or...
Basically, he's the Pete Rose.
Who's the pitcher we were talking about the other day?
Roger Clemens.
Roger Clemens of Hollywood.
1921, Esther Williams, the American swimmer and actress.
Yeah, what were we talking about? Didn't we talk about her having an affair with... Who was the guy that she was banging, she made a movie with? We were talking about...
It's old Hollywood. This is you, not me.
Yeah, I know. But we just talked about the other day. Her co-star in... Was it Million Dollar Mermaid?
Probably, something like that.
I think he knocked her
out. I can guarantee you it had an aquatic title.
Yeah.
He did, because it's portrayed in the Coen Brothers' Hail Caesar movie, where Scarlett Johansson is playing the Esther Williams character.
Yeah.
And she's knocked up in the movie, and they arrange for her to go away.
It's Victor Mature.
Yeah. They arrange for her to go away and then come, and she's going to adopt her own child.
Yeah. Which is kind of common stuff back then. They did all kinds of stuff.
Well, the studio.
Like,
would you like to be a studio fixer? That would have been a great job
Eddie
for
Mannix,
you.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He fixed George Reeves.
Whew. 1932, Mel Tillis, American singer, songwriter, guitarist. Happy birthday, Mel.
He's still alive.
Yes, he is. 1937, Dustin Hoffman.
He's still alive, too.
Yes, he is. You got a favorite Hoffman movie? Other than Rain Man?
I like Papillon.
You like Papillon?
Yeah, where he was Louis... what was his name? Louis something.
What do you feel about Dog Day Afternoon?
Remember he had the bonds up his ass?
Oh, that's right. He did.
I thought that was Pacino was in Dog Day.
Oh, that's true. That's
I like The Graduate.
The Graduate. What else did he do? Little Man from Little Bighorn. He played
Little Big Man.
Little Big Man.
I didn't like that.
Tootsie?
Not his pro.
I think Tootsie.
That was good.
That might have been
a movie.
God, was that
good. That was funny.
That was really good.
That was pretty funny.
I'm thinking.
And he won for Kramer versus Kramer.
Yeah, he did.
He won, too. He won for that one, and he won for
Rain Man.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't go full.
That's why, by the way, Melvin Douglas, I think, didn't show up to the Academy Awards because he didn't compete with an 8-year-old. Because his son was nominated, too. And Melvin Douglas ended up winning. It's like, he's going to have an 8-year-old kid.
Yeah. 1947, Ken Dryden born. Great goaltender for Montreal. NHL, Montreal. Then a lawyer and a politician.
Yeah, I know he got into that stuff.
1949, Keith Carradine.
Not the one that hanged himself.
No, that was in Thailand.
This guy's actually won an Academy Award for, I think, Best Song.
Really?
Yeah, for Nashville. Yep.
Oh, a Robert Altman film?
Yeah.
Oh,
I think Carradine wrote the theme song or something to
for
it.
For Nashville?
I think that won the Academy Award.
No kidding.
I'm pretty
sure. I
gotta
look this up, Armand.
Yeah, look it up. But now, of course, his father is John Carradine, who's a you know, famous horror movie actor. I like, he's always a mad doctor or something. Oh, it was, his best role was Long Jack in Captain's Courageous. He's really good. Spencer Tracy got in his face.
His brother stated he could play any instrument he wanted.
Yeah, he's a real musical guy.
Yeah, and he performed a song he'd written, I'm Easy, in the movie Nashville. That's your song. And he won a Golden Globe and an Oscar for Best Original Song. Oh, way to go.
Some guy's got talent.
He was also in Madonna's Material Girl video.
Ugh.
Wow.
Okay. Oh, you know a good movie with him, I think?
I kind of, yeah. Oh, I do remember him in that. He was a real suave looking dude.
Ever seen the movie The Duelist?
Great movie.
We got to get that. I got to talk to E about
movie.
That. Harvey Keitel and him, they had those duels. Those are great. The Duelist.
Yeah, parents, yeah. John Carradine.
Wasn't that Ridley Scott? Ridley Scott, I think, was his first.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's direct. That was like one of his first movies. If not his first.
If not his first?
Yeah.
Now he's the one that's still alive. Tony Scott, his brother, passed away.
Yeah,
that's a shame.
He did Aliens, too. Alien.
1951, Louis van Gaal, the great Dutch footballer and manager, most recently he was at Manchester United. Now, he's a big name in football, Armand. Nigel Mansell, 1953, F1 driver.
He's a big name in.
At Formula One, IndyCar racing as well. When he came from Formula One to the IndyCar circuit in the late 80s, early 90s, that was a big deal. Donnie Most, born in 1953.
Ralph Malph.
Oh, yeah. Ralph.
Yeah.
What a...
Remember his dad?
You talk about being typecast for life.
And his dad was a dentist, the guy that was Howard on Andy Griffith. What the hell's that guy's name? Jack something. Jack, you know what I'm talking about. Remember? He was on Andy Griffith's show.
But I'm thinking of the dentist.
Well, not on that. On Happy Days. He was in Dennis. He was Donnie Most's dad. They were all just clicking.
Oh,
he was just as stupid.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
they were playing
yeah.
jokes on each other. God, what was that guy's name?
What else was he in, though? I'm looking here.
Ooh, Donnie Most?
Yeah.
I can't think
Star
of
Star Trek Voyager. Guest appearance. It's a guest appearance.
Oh, okay.
Chips, Baywatch.
My favorite, one of my favorite Happy Days where he's got, Fonzie talks him into, he was in love with Steven Spielberg's wife, Amy Irving. Remember she's on the show?
I thought Steven Spielberg's wife was Kate Capshaw.
No, after he dumped Amy Irving.
Right,
yeah, he dumped
right.
Amy Irving.
Okay.
Yeah, so anyway, she's like his girlfriend, or he's trying to be a girlfriend.
Yeah.
And you ever seen this one?
I don't remember this one.
And it's like, he can't get any chicks, so Fonzie tells him to be like Rex Harrison. You know, except,
oh, and he comes out as the music man?
Well, he comes out, he's got the pipe and the sweater and everything. You're like, hey, Rex Harrison. And she's not falling for it, so he puts on his fright wig and weird glasses. So finally says, you're useless, so he joins the Marines. It's funny, man. That's a funny one.
You know, I remember a lot of Happy Days, but God.
Yeah, that was a good one, man.
Here's one of my favorites, Armand. Happy birthday to The Edge.
I think I've heard of this.
What do you mean you think you've heard of it?
This, yeah, but
have you heard of U2?
U2, yeah.
Yeah.
I was just going to say.
They're a lead guitarist. They're drummer.
Does he play the kazoo?
He plays the kazoo, the French horn, and guitar.
Famous harpist.
Real name, David Howell Evans.
Well, they all have one, don't
yeah.
they?
Yeah, well, do you know Bono's real name?
Hewson.
That's correct, Paul Hewson. Very good. You get a cookie.
You win a cookie, Fisher.
Yeah, so happy birthday to The Edge. I saw them May of this year. Great show. I'm going to see him two more times this year. Oh, his guitar playing is tremendous, dude.
He's no Jimmy Page.
No, he's not that type of guitarist. Although, speaking of, he is in a documentary of Jimmy Page called This Might Get Loud. I highly recommend it. It's called This Might Get Loud. Go to This Day in History podcast.com. Click on the Amazon banner. And if you've never seen This Might Get Loud or It Might Get Loud.
I've never seen it.
It's Jimmy Page, The Edge, and Jack White.
What are they doing?
They just talk guitars for about 2 hours.
Jamming together.
And then they jam. Yeah. They jam, and it's and Page shows them some stuff that's just amazing. And then Edge shows them some tricks because He uses a lot of pedal work and other stuff to
a guitar.
Yeah, you a guitar pedal.
Okay.
You don't know what a guitar pedal is?
No.
There's.
I don't even know what guitar pick is.
No. Okay. Yes, you do. Stop playing dumb.
Remember, like Woody Allen, he was blowing into it. Did he blow into that thing? Remember that? That's the best joke of that whole movie. What's his name? That was Play It Again. No. Not playing.
Wasn't played against Sam.
No. The one where it's like his first one. Take the money and run.
Okay.
And we talked to Mr. Corman, his cello teacher. He had no conception of the instrument. He was blowing into it. That's hilarious. A cello. Remember he played in the marching band? He had to keep adjusting his stool.
No, like the Edge has a really distinctive sound. And he gets it, you know, with the effects pedals that they use, before it goes to
off
to the amp.
Well, I know. I've seen Jimmy Page use a bow. Oh, that's kind
of
neat.
He shows you all sorts of things about how they made some of the great Zeppelin riffs. Right. Oh, it's a tremendous documentary, folks. Yes, you are. You'll watch it. You'll watch it today. 1981, happy birthday, Roger Federer. You know, normally I don't do birthdays after 1980 because I figure
because they're all losers.
You haven't done anything good enough yet to warrant. Well, but Roger Federer has.
Didn't he just win again?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I thought he was relegated to watch commercials, but he's still in there.
No, Federer cashing in yet again.
It just goes to show there's nobody really good anymore. I got a joke.
Well, Murray lost unexpectedly.
What happened to Djokovic? Or is that who did he beat in the final?
I don't remember because Murray was out. I quit paying attention.
What was that big? Was that him and Nadal in that like 5-hour marathon?
Yes.
That was a great match, man. Yes. That was fun.
Yeah.
And it went over the next day.
Yeah. He and Nadal are today's version of Bjorn and McEnroe.
I don't know.
Except they don't yell they don't yell at the linesman enough or the judge.
We need an Yvonne Lendl too. Or no?
No, you don't. No, that's boring.
Not Lendl. The guy, the real jerk, the Romanian Yvonne. The guy was always before McEnroe. He was
Ilie Nastase.
Nasty.
He was a good one.
Yeah,
we need
him. All right, you left out a trio of physicists.
I mean, did.
I can't believe you.
Okay. Well, we love science on this show.
Race car drivers and stupid people. Ernest Lawrence, 1901, the inventor of the cyclotron.
Ooh.
Won the Nobel Prize.
Very
worked
good.
The Manhattan Project.
Very good.
Big science. He was the advocate of that. Spent a lot of money. I'm not for that. Well, the government, of course, spending a lot of money. But anyway, Ernest Lawrence, pretty bright guy. One of my favorite physicists, Paul Dirac. Remember how you define a Dirac? The unit.
Oh, you did tell me this.
We were just talking about him the other day.
God, this was this was good too. It was fascinating.
One word per hour. It was rather laconic lecture.
One word per hour.
Yeah, a Dirac. Yeah, and since you were bringing up religion, he went off on all these physicists were together, and he's like, we got to stop ascribing everything to God and all those things. He really went off on religion in general. And I think who the hell was it? It wasn't Einstein, but one of those guys said something like, I think what he's trying to tell us is that there is no God, and his prophet is Paul Dirac.
Okay.
Which even Dirac laughed at. It's pretty good.
That's good.
Pretty good line.
So Dirac had a sense of humor about himself.
Well, he didn't say that. Yeah, he took it well.
Okay.
But like he's on a boat or whatever with Schrodinger, one of those guys, and the guy's a real ladies' man. Oh, it's Heisenberg, I think. So anyway, Heisenberg's out trying to get laid. They were taking a cruise.
Wait a second. It's hard to imagine a physicist being a real ladies' man.
Oh, yeah, Heisenberg. Oh, yeah. Oh, Einstein really? Was.
Well, Einstein that's was true. Okay. Yeah, but he was into his cousin. These that's guys, it's weird.
Yeah, but he liked young women, I mean. But Heisenberg's like trying to get laid. He's going, and Dirac's just, sticking to his stateroom and more or less, hanging out by himself. And he said something to the effect that, what's wrong with dancing with nice girls? And Dirac says, well, but how do you know they're nice? True physicist.
That's good. Yeah. Maybe he could come up with a theorem
or
some quantitative proof, huh?
Yeah. Or got another one for you where he's up at the Solway conference, I believe, or something, and he's writing this huge his equation. Yeah, I told you. He introduced himself to, I think it was Richard Feynman. I'm Paul Dirac, and I have an equation.
Equation.
Do you?
Do you.
Or do you have an equation or something like that?
It's a precursor to I'm Chevy Chase, and you're not.
Yeah, right. I got an equation. You don't. But he's up there at the board or whatever, and some physicist says something. I have a question. I don't understand up in the left-hand corner or whatever. I don't understand that. And Dirac looked in like his usual laconic way, waited, and said, that's not a question. That's a comment.
Yeah, that's true.
And that was the end of that.
It's true. Yeah,
I don't think he ever answered it.
You ever talk to one of those people who, if you make a statement expecting a reply, they just look at you and go, is there a question? I always want to punch those people.
Oh, I'll keep that in mind. I'll make sure I interrogate instead of All right, and then 1931, Roger Penrose, who's still alive.
Roger Penrose.
Yeah, I read his book. It's really good. The Emperor's New Mind. It came out in 88.
The Emperor's New Mind.
Yeah, he
mind.
Talks about consciousness and physics and quantum mechanics. Pretty
oh,
good.
Okay.
For the layman, it's pretty good.
So, it, okay, written for the everyday man, though.
Yeah, The Emperor's New Mind. Read it.
There you go. So, thisdayinhistorypodcast.com, click on Amazon, and get The Emperor's New Mind.
I don't think he won now, Dirac won the Nobel Prize.
Yes.
And then Penrose didn't, but he's won a lot of other prizes, and he's like brilliant.
So this is something I would like to read.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because it's not going into hardcore differential equations.
Not like, now, Dirac's book, Principles of Quantum Mechanics.
Well, that's some light bedtime reading.
It's still used.
Good.
It's still used as a textbook.
Well, why not? Who can,
I'm telling you, how many books written in the 30s on physics are still, you know,
are still relevant?
Grad students use
when you get it right, it stays right.
Yes.
Correct?
And he was Lucasian professor of mathematics. You know the one. That's the biggie.
What's Lucasian mean?
Well, that's like the seat at, I think it's Cambridge. That's one Stephen Hawking has.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the one everybody wants to get.
All right.
Probably get a pretty good stipend for
that. I would think so. I think
a nice robe.
Yeah, well, sure. Definitely some good garments.
Get to bang grad students. All the chicks love it, man.
No.
I don't think you think you get laid in Granite City if you told some gal you were a Lucasian professor of mathematics.
I don't think you'd need to go that far, Armand.
Huh? Get out of here.
I think if you said I have a speedboat.
Yeah, I have a 12-pack.
How would you like to go to Pontoon Beach?
I got a Harley and a 12-pack outside.
Back to the events that have occurred on August 8th.
Just trying to give our listeners some idea where we live.
Well, we live right outside St. Louis, Missouri. Full disclosure, that's where we do the show from, but Armand has traveled around, lived around. Yeah. I have not lived around, but traveled around. So, what we're saying is we get around. I love heist, Armand.
All right.
I love a heist.
I'm sure they made a movie about it.
They have. In 1963, the greatest train robbery ever, and I mean ever, occurs on August the 8th in England, where the Royal Mail train from Glasgow to London is robbed for £2.6 million.
Yeah,
probably
$10 million back then.
16 guys, three of which still don't know the names of.
Equivalent of £49 million today.
Yes.
So wow.
Yes, I mean.
So that's about $100 million.
We don't even have time to go through all the intricacies of this, from the planning to the
15. Man, 15.
Yeah. That's a lot of people to have in on a caper, all right?
I heard, Gordon Goody. I was like that.
Bruce
Reynolds.
Some of the names are great. Yeah, Bruce Reynolds is always mentioned, so is Gordon Goody. Buster Edwards, Charlie Wilson, Roy James, John Daly, Jimmy White, Ronnie Biggs. Then you get
it
sounds like the Rolling Stones at this point. Then you get to some really good English names. Tommy Wisby. That's a great name. Jim Hussey. Bob Welch and Roger Cordray.
Now, Goody has to be a lead vocalist, I guess.
I would think so. That Gordon Goody. Gigi is what they called it.
Gordon Goody.
Yeah, Gigi.
And then Tommy Butler on synthesizer.
But that is, first of all, where they heisted it, which was previously Mentmore Bridge. For a while, they actually just called it Train Robbers Bridge. You got to love it.
Great, good idea, man.
Did it outside of Ledbourne up in Buckinghamshire, which obviously is north of London. I'm not sure how far north that is. So,
man, I'll tell you, that was a golden age of crime. I guess not. It was after the 30s.
Well, just
man, that's ballsy to
about
do that.
About at that point. That's a you.
Hey, I'll tell you,
there's a couple more good heists in the 70s. It's a bank heist, though.
The top,
like the one where they get the pictures of Princess Margaret out of the vault. That's a good one. You ever seen that one?
The best bank heist, and I was almost there. I was there, Studio City or North Hollywood, where they're out there with the machine guns and everything.
Oh yeah,
I was going to the gym. My Gold's Gym is right.
You're
on
kidding?
On Laurel Canyon.
Didn't they base some?
They
of,
had everything.
What year was this?
I just moved out there. It had to be 97. I just moved out there.
Wow.
It's like, what the hell's going on? I can't get to the gym, and it's like unbelievable. I went home to watch on the news because they had the whole street, you know. They had the whole street cordoned off. Man, there was shells all over the place.
It's like the National Guard coming in, though, to rob a bank.
Man, that's Hollywood there.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, I want a heist where no one really knows until it's all over.
Well, I mean, but that's the thing. If you're going to commit suicide anyway, you know, that's what I do. Get a machine gun and go try to rob a bank.
But I don't want to hurt anyone else.
You don't have to.
No, that's true. You don't even load it. Yeah, no, you don't have to hurt anyone
else. You're going to run a bluff anyway.
Right. That's not bad. I am a sucker for a great heist. There are all sorts of things you can read about the great train robbery. I mean, it goes on and on and on. I mean, you can get into the conspiracy of this and more. Plus what these guys did in prison, the fate of the... It's amazing story.
I'm looking at the movie, but that's Victorian England. That's right.
No, that's a different...
Yeah, Sean Connery.
Yeah. Yeah.
They had to make a movie about this.
Yeah, they did.
It's a documentary. It's on the radio.
Well, no, there's a BBC production. Here, I'll find it. Give me a second.
They got a whole mini series.
Yeah, yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Because
the thing is so complicated.
Well, it took a long time to catch all
that's
these
right.
guys. I know that, yeah.
Yeah, the thing is so entailed.
180 minutes. Oh, that's not that bad.
But The Great Train Robbery, the British television film, is recommended.
Ronnie Biggs just died.
Don't confuse it with the older ones. That's what you want. Boy, I just...
Yeah, you don't want the 1903 Great Train Robbery what's his name?
No.
The first movie, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotta love it. Gotta love a good heist. That's awesome. Now, the next one, maybe even more intriguing.
William S. Hart.
One of the most iconic photographs ever taken on this date.
Oh, yeah.
In 1969. I've been there, and it's a cool spot. This is the photograph of the four Beatles. We think, crossing the road.
Three living Beatles and a corpse.
Crossing the road at Abbey Road, just outside of Abbey Road Studios. And I should say, just outside and slightly up the street. This is not like right in front of Abbey Road.
All sorts of significance have been ascribed to this.
All sorts. So the picture, you got the four Beatles in stride walking across the checked crossing, the zebra crossing, as they call it.
Now, is there a Volkswagen in there or something? Because I think somebody sold
Well, there's
car.
A Beatle.
Oh, yeah, right.
On the left
hand
side
of the street.
Yeah,
somebody sold that car for a lot
of
money, I think.
There's a gentleman on the right-hand side of the street. There is a police car. Now, the police car is there because they had to stop traffic. This is Abbey Road, which is a fairly busy thoroughfare.
I would imagine.
You know, even in 1969, it would have been today, it obviously is. You know.
I guess.
Yeah, I mean,
some mecca.
I've been twice. It's cool.
It's
good.
Quarryman fans.
So here's everything behind the photo. First of all, it's a funeral procession. Okay, they're all in stride and everything. John Lennon's wearing white symbolizes the color of mourning in Eastern religions, which John was. Ringo has a traditional black jacket on.
Oh, I say a black jacket.
Yeah, and Harrison is wearing denim on denim, a denim shirt and blue jeans. And apparently, denim is the mourning color of Canada. We're going to have to look that one up for verification. Paul has a cigarette in his right hand, even though Paul is famously a lefty. And this implies that he's an imposter, of course, because the real McCartney is said to have died on November 8th or 9th of 1966 in a car accident.
Right.
Paul's feet are bare. Why are his feet bare? Because when you're buried, you don't wear shoes. No shoes go into the casket.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, I've heard all this.
The license plate on the Volkswagen Beetle, LMW28IF. The conspiracy folks claim that's how old Paul would be if he were alive, although actually he would have been 27 if the rumor had been true. The police van that's parked there, the black police van, is supposed to just symbolize how everyone kept quiet about Paul's fatal traffic accident, you know, a couple years previous. So, that's just there. Now, if you flip it to the back cover, there's a girl in a blue dress, you know, walking sort of fast. You know, it's a blurred shot arm on. You can see it right here in front of the Abbey Road sign that's embedded
back.
Yeah, that's the back
of the album.
That's the back. And that means that's apparently the fan Rita fleeing the accident, who he was supposed to be driving that night.
Shouldn't this be discussed on Surreal?
Well, it's
talk?
A surreal. I mean, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, let's get a little.
The broken Beatles sign.
Don Larson's perfect game or something.
There's also a on the back cover, there's a series of dots. You join them together, you can make out the number 3, which is for the 3 surviving Beatles.
I thought it was because Paul had 3 testicles.
He may have. I don't know. You have to ask Jane Asher.
I'd rather ask who's the one with the one leg?
Heather Mills?
Yeah, is that who it is? I don't know.
Yeah,
she's a good looking gal.
No, she was. Though there's horrible stories about their marriage, though. Woof, bad. Yeah. And I'm not sure about the guy standing on the side who's just got his hands on his hips, sort of looking up the street.
Yeah. But he got laid for that.
I don't know. He's an older looking dude.
Well, so what?
Yeah. Now, I was told on our tour up at Abbey Road that they got so frustrated with what they were going to, because they were supposed to fly to Mount Everest and have their picture taken with the mountain and the backdrop, and the album was going to be.
This is cheaper.
Yeah. And they said, and Lennon or someone got fed up and said, let's just walk across the damn street and snap a photo.
Well, that makes sense to me.
Totally makes sense. And I can see Paul being barefooted inside Abbey Road Studios. Ringo's a little bit dressed up,
though.
So you
don't think he's dead then, huh?
Well, the guy who they think, I forget his name, Billy.
Yeah,
Billy,
the phony.
Yeah, the phony Paul, Fall, as they call him. You know, apparently they've lost track of that guy ever since November of 66. He's just been AWOL since that time. This is one of the great conspiracies of all time.
Well, have they talked about this on Surreal Talk?
I don't know. I'll have to ask our friends Everett and Eric Hicks if they've ever broken this one down.
Well, I guess they have a whole rock and roll.
There's all sorts of
Jim Morrison.
Now, on the other hand, if you're Beatles management, this is great.
Is it?
This is great fodder to keep up attention and get people to go out and buy records who might not, and sit there and look at an album
and not give Paul his royalties.
Paul, you're dead.
Yeah,
We're not paying you.
Drop dead, man. You're not getting anything.
You're out. All right. So there you have it. Abbey Road cover snapped. By the way,
Ian
McMillan.
That's a good trivia.
He takes the iconic photo. It's also very hard
to get
the
way he spells his name.
No.
Vowels in a row.
A-I-N. Is that a Welsh Ian? I thought Ian was already Welsh for John. So why is it spelled this way?
I don't know. Maybe McMillan. All right.
Yeah. It's also very hard to stand in the exact spot that he took the photo from.
I would not even attempt it.
Some of the cars are not so polite up there. I'm just warning you. 1974, this is the day, nationwide television address.
Yeah.
Nixon announces his resignation from the office of the President of the United States, effective noon the next day.
I don't know. Yeah, like I said, it's overblown in my opinion.
Yeah, but still, let's go into the mind of Nixon that day.
Well, the guy's nuts. We know that.
Okay, but still.
Oh, that day?
Regardless of being nuts or not, you're having to resign the presidency of the United States. Can you imagine the gravity of that situation? Throw out your partisanship for a second.
I don't know. It might have been relief more than anything.
It could have been.
Under siege for years.
It could have been. He's been under siege since what, 72?
Yeah, everybody hated his guts. Well, since 60, really.
Everyone hated Dick for some reason or another. But
anyway, this guy had some, you know, mental issues.
But he was a smart fellow, right?
Yeah, you're not stupid.
Yeah.
Doesn't it
sometimes happen to smart people
this childhood, I guess, you know, this drive to win and apparently had no affection from his mother or whatever.
That'll do it to you.
Yeah, that's some psychiatrist.
That'll do it to you.
They all have these things. So, that doesn't necessarily make him a bad president, in my opinion.
So one of the most iconic pieces of video, I think, is Nixon's uttering that line, sitting at the desk. Now, tomorrow comes the big.
That's tomorrow.
Right, that's August 9th.
Yeah, well,
with the big send-off. We'll do that tomorrow.
That's where I drop my pants.
We'll have you.
Show you my ass.
We'll have you
here you go.
We'll recreate that. Of course, we're going to need a Marine One helicopter in our parking lot, but I think, Armand, you getting onto a helicopter doing that would be... Oh,
yeah, you hope I'd run into the blade.
No. Oh, I'd never wish that on you. No.
Well, that's a good way to get killed, though.
Well,
right?
You said it's like a guillotine. So there you have it. Nixon says goodbye. 1990, Iraq occupies Kuwait and annexes it to the Iraqi nation. This, of course, leads right to the Gulf War.
Why? Let them have it.
Well, again, I asked the question, does anyone remember any news about Kuwait breaking the OPEC rules at the time that kind of led to this?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, but they're always breaking rules.
I'm not justifying the invasion of a country. I'm just saying.
No, I'm just saying it's none of our business. Let them settle it. It's my opinion. We got to go fight and look what happened. See, all these things have consequences.
Yeah, they have knock-on effects that you pay for.
We never think about that shit.
Forever, potentially. We can pick one of these things from 1027, 1,000 years ago, still having effects. I mean, look, burn the temple down in Jerusalem. Still talking about it 2,000 years later.
You are. I'm not.
Well, a lot of people are, Armand. 1991, this is a fun fact. The Warsaw Radio Mast, which at one time was the tallest thing ever constructed.
Yeah, but I think it was built by communists, so you know it's got to fall.
Well, it collapses.
Yeah, of course it does.
Symbolically collapses in 1991.
15-mile-an-hour breeze knocked it over.
But no, it really does collapse, folks, as communism is collapsing. And it's the huge, it is what it is. It's a radio mast.
That's all it is. Yeah. It would have been a nice cell phone tower. Somebody lost some money.
Totally. And in 2008, 8808, which in Chinese is 8 is good luck, not 7. Oh, 8 is, yes.
That's why Mao killed 88 million people.
Did he really?
For good luck.
For that?
Yeah.
Oh, God. In lots of cultures, 8 is the lucky number. And in our culture, 7 is the lucky number. So they purposely started the Olympics on 8-8-8. But the Olympic ceremony, opening ceremony.
Remember they wanted to have the first night game, 8-8-88, but got rained out at Wrigley?
Oh, that's right. It did. It got rained out.
That ruined that.
Yeah. The 29th Olympiad in Beijing, which for opening ceremonies was spectacular. It was spectacular. It really was incredible. You know why Paris and L.A. got the game? Speaking of Olympics, did you hear this?
No.
You know why they got them? You know, normally
when did Paris get it? 2020?
2024. In Los Angeles, 2028. They were the only ones who bid.
That figures. Yeah, who wants them?
Nobody wants them anymore, which I think is great.
Yeah, I think it'd be great just to discontinue them. What the hell good are they?
Not the way they're doing them.
Well, that's stupid.
It's absolutely dumb.
They want to eliminate wrestling.
Why? That's the one Olympic sport that should never go away.
Yeah. No, they want to make room for women's softball.
But fine, have it, but you don't need to eliminate
everything. Oh, I'm sick of this stuff.
All right.
How many countries have to go under to field these things? Yeah, they finally wised up.
How do you think Brazil's doing after hosting a World Cup and the Olympics? They're in great shape, aren't they?
That's why they're their prime ministers are going to jail one after the other.
So who died today?
Wait, I got a couple of things I have to clean up from last time. We were talking about Deimos and Phobos.
Yeah, the moon's Mars.
Deimos is smaller, but Phobos is closer.
Ah.
So it's the one that's going to hit the Roche limit in about 30 to 50 million years and break up.
I'll be looking for that.
Run into the planet.
I'll be looking for that.
Billy Burke's, you like this name because Billy Burke's husband and father of the bride.
Yes.
Maroni Olson.
That's a good name.
Yeah.
That's a good name.
That's
Maroni Olson.
I should remember that name. The pennies.
Yes.
During World War II were zinc-coated steel.
Zinc-coated steel.
Yeah.
So basically little slugs.
Yeah, they look. If you look at them, they're like silver. You know. They're kind of. I used to have one. Damn it.
Well, my grandfather
they're
was
not that expensive. I think you can get them pretty cheap.
My grandfather was the chief electrician at American Zinc, did a lot of
put a lot of pennies in fuses.
No, but certainly a lot of things that got chromed for the automotive industry, and
I'm just cleaning up here.
Takes a tremendous amount of electricity to do that stuff, by the way. Holy smoke.
As much electricity as Al Gore uses in his house?
Just about.
Hey, did you see his big opening?
Yeah.
made $900,000.
There you go.
Wow. What a blockbuster.
Get the back end points.
I love it.
God, why would you even have that? Why would that guy go to theater? Come on.
Even the people believe in it think, no, he's full
I'm not
of it.
Running out to see it.
Of course. Who would?
Oh, I'll wait for it on Netflix.
Are you going to see Dunkirk or are you going to see Inconvenience
Dunkirk.
Sequel?
I'm going to go see an ME-109 versus a Spitfire. That's what I'm seeing.
I'd rather be at Dunkirk. I'd rather be strafed than watch that movie.
All right.
Jeez, let the Germans shoot at me.
Who died?
All right.
Well, the Roman Emperor Trajan, who I know ranks high on your list of Roman emperors.
One of five good emperors. Yeah. Well, this was at the zenith of the Roman Empire.
They're at their height.
He knocked out he got pissed off. The Parthians set up the wrong guy in Armenia. He didn't like that, so he went and kicked their butt.
Who'd they set up in Armenia?
I don't know. Some Parthian.
Some Parthian?
Some Parthian.
So he dies in 117.
Yeah.
117.
The Battle of Ctesiphon.
C.E. Yes. Common Era.
Right. And then he was adopted son of Nerva. Because Nerva didn't have any kids.
Didn't have any kids?
I don't think he had any kids. And his adopted son.
Who succeeds Trajan?
Antoninus Pius.
Antoninus Pius.
Yeah, the five good emperors.
Okay. Hit me again.
Okay. Here we go again. Let's see. Nerva. How am I getting this in the wrong? No, Hadrian was next. So it's Pius Antoninus.
That's right, because Hadrian had
Nerva,
a good wall.
Pius Antoninus, Nerva, Trajan, Hadrian, and Marcus Aurelius.
Marcus Aurelius.
And then Commodus, who was not one of the five good emperors.
But he gave us...
He was one of the five shitty emperors.
He gave us the toilet.
Yeah, that's one of your funnies.
Commode? You don't
no,
see...
No relation.
You don't see a link? I do.
I see a link, but it's after the show when I go drop it. That's my link.
All right.
Okay.
Now, who else do you have on deaths? I only got a couple. They're all from 2005 to 2014.
Oh, I got Anton Denikin.
Anton Denikin?
Yeah, 1947 he died. This guy was a White Russian general. He fought the Civil War, the Russians. And he was doing okay till the Black Russians hooked up with the Red Russians, Trotsky.
And you never hear any more about the Black Russians.
They kicked the Denikin's ass, and then Trotsky turned on the Black Russians and killed them. But this guy was a White Russian. And then, this guy actually made it out. He lost the war. He lost the Battle of Orel, I think, was his Waterloo, and he got the hell out of Russia. Apparently, he was a good writer. I haven't read any of his stuff, but a lot of our documentation of the Russian Civil War.
Oh, it comes from him.
Yeah. He was not a big Jew lover.
Okay.
Killed a lot of Jews.
But a rare instance of a winner not writing the history.
Well, yeah.
Huh.
Which, I don't know, taints it, I guess. But he killed a lot. This is the problem, I think. This is why Churchill had a problem backing him up.
Yeah.
This is pogroms, you know. Yeah, he killed
a lot of Jews. That's a hard pill to
swallow. I don't know what his problem was.
That's a hard pill to swallow.
Yeah, so.
You can't exactly be fighting Nazi Germany and having an ally that's in the same boat on one subject.
Well, anyway, so they didn't.
Good grief.
Now, 1965, Shirley Jackson, who's probably written The Lottery, is one of the most famous short stories of all time.
The Lottery?
Yeah. You don't know The Lottery?
No, I don't.
I don't know if I want to give this away.
Okay, don't give it away.
Yeah. Everybody read it. It's a great short story.
This day.
And she also wrote The Haunting of Hill House, which was made into a very, my favorite scary movie.
Oh.
The Haunting. The original Haunting.
The original The Haunting?
Yeah.
Do you watch scary movies today?
Yeah.
Like The Conjuring and...
I haven't seen that. This is
The Others.
Scary. Mm.
The new Amityville.
I watched some. They're not any good. This is good.
What's scary to you?
The Haunting.
Why? Is it psychological?
Well, you got to watch it.
Psychological fear or jump scare fear?
Because the editing is so good. Robert Wise directed it. He's an editor, and he's like, there's no stupid
built up the
effect.
Tension.
Yeah, the way he did it is just
good.
Scary.
Good, good, good.
And then what you got to do is watch that and then watch the remake, and you'll see.
You see the difference.
It's a signal lesson in how to ruin something with too much garbage.
Gotcha. Here's who I got. Barbara Bel Geddes, 2005.
Yeah.
Thought you might like
passable
her.
Actress.
Gene Mock, good baseball manager. Never could
Expos.
Win the World Series, but...
Expos, right?
A whole bunch of teams. Phillies, Angels.
Did he ever get to the World Series?
I don't think so. 2010, Patricia Neal.
Yeah, good actress.
Good actress.
She won... She really odd, though. She won for HUD, which was a very short... You know, she's only on screen like 20 minutes, maybe. Not very long.
Even enough to qualify for?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. You would think she'd be supporting actress, but she won Best Actress.
How about that?
Which I think...
That's like when they gave it to Anthony Hopkins for Silence of the Lambs.
That was like 19 minutes.
That's a joke.
Well,
it's a joke. That's Best Supporting Actor.
Okay.
Well, I remember they lobbied for that to get that change.
Anthony Hopkins didn't do something she did. Got knocked up by Gary Cooper.
Really?
Yeah, had an abortion. Yeah,
oh, no.
She was really in love. They made...
That would have been one good-looking kid.
They made that Ayn Rand movie, The Fountainhead.
The Fountainhead together. Yeah, where he blows up the...
Yeah. Howard Rourke, I guess that was his name. And then, they had this torrid affair.
Really?
She wanted to marry him, yeah, and he knocked her up, and she had an abortion.
Oh, man.
And then she had a lot of problems. She had a stroke real bad. They thought she was dead. In fact, I think somebody reported she's dead. She's in a coma for like 3 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. In 1965, she came out of it. She made They Were Expendable. She made that with John Wayne in 45. They didn't get along too well. No, not that They Were Expendable.
In harm's way.
That's what she made.
Operation Pacific.
They couldn't stand each other on that for
You're
some
kidding.
Reason. Well, apparently John Wayne was going through a divorce. And he was being a real dick and everything, and she didn't like him. And
well,
then
you
they
can
made,
feel a tension between those two.
Yeah, but in harm's way, they liked each other.
They liked each other?
Yeah, because he was in a lot better mood.
Yeah, that's true.
Of course, he's just getting over, lung cancer.
The Duke being in a bad mood, probably not one to be around.
She was supposed to be Mrs. Robinson. Turned it down because of her stroke. Or
I could see that.
Yeah,
that would be, yes, I could see that.
So Anne Bancroft got that one.
Who would be sexier? That's about a tie.
It's tough to beat.
That's
Anne
a tie.
Bancroft.
And I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And
have to see.
Apparently she played Regina in another part of the forest,
mm-hmm.
Lillian Hellman stuff, you know. Anyway, so she's, they called her the young Tallulah Bankhead.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently after a performance, Tallulah Bankhead went back to, darling, you were as good as I am, or something. He says, even if I said you were half as good, it'd be one hell of a compliment. That's Tallulah.
That's great.
Yeah.
My final death.
And what's her most famous statement?
And so you shall, my old-fashioned boy.
No, not her. Patricia Neal.
Oh, Patricia Neal's most famous statement. I don't know.
Gort, clatu barata nicto. Remember? From the day the earth stood
the
still?
The day the earth stood still.
Yeah. That's like,
yeah,
that's
no, I don't really,
more.
I don't really remember that.
Did they use it in the Keanu Reeves lousy remake?
I don't think so. Yeah. If they did, then everyone missed them.
Clatu barata nicto.
She seems like she could have been a good first lady.
Patricia Neal?
Yeah. What if Reagan had married her?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I like her.
Yeah. She seems like first lady material to me.
Nancy's better.
Like not, you know, not so attractive that it's off-putting and...
No, I never...
And not Barbara Bush.
Even when she was a kid, I mean, you know, young, they, you know, she's supposed to be this beauty. I never thought she was that good looking.
No, she's a fine-looking lady. Yeah. But she's not, she's not Marilyn Monroe.
No.
No, and she's not...
Not Mamie Van Doren.
Not Mamie Van Doren. She's not Anita Ekberg.
Ooh.
No. There you go. I'm naming some of Armand's favorites.
And that other one, Britt Eklund.
Oh, yeah. That was...
Ursula Andress.
Yes, the Swedes.
She's no Bond girl.
My final one, Charles Keating. Didn't know if you had anything on old Charlie. English, 2014.
English-American actor?
Mm-hmm.
What was he in? I don't know.
Well, you have to look him up.
I thought it was the Keating Five.
Different.
Yeah.
Different.
I don't know
different
this guy.
Group.
What's he in?
Different group.
Well, we got a couple of ball players just died. What is it? Dalton? Was it Darren?
Darren Dalton. We won't get to
and
talk
Don
to
Don Baylor?
It. And Don Baylor.
Man,
Don Baylor.
Young guys.
They both died prior to this show, which is August 8th, August 6th and August 7th.
Yeah.
But
Dalton, what does he have, cancer or something?
Yeah, 55 years
old.
Yeah,
young man. Uh-oh.
And in
that's
the,
scary.
In the early 90s, he was about as hot as you could get in
Play
Major
for the
League.
Phillies?
Yep. Yep, great Phillies team that went to the World Series, 93, lost to the Blue Jays. Notable in our neck of the woods, Armand, because Ray Lankford absolutely crushed him at home plate once.
Oh, yeah?
And I mean in a meaning.
Is he a catcher?
Yeah, Darren was a catcher, yeah.
In
a meaningless game, I think, at the end of the year.
Hey, there are no meaningless. That's the way you play this
game. Ray Lankford
it.
For the St. Louis Cardinals hit Darren Dalton as hard as anybody has ever
Is
been
that
hit,
on,
including... Including Pete Rose hitting
Ray Fosse.
And yes, it is. You can see Lankford hitting Dalton. But Dalton was, he was his.
Now you can't even do that anymore, right?
No.
You can't plow into.
No.
What kind of bullshit is that,
no,
man?
No, you can't. Because catchers were getting concussions.
So
that's
what?
Fine. And then.
They had an outlaw foul tips. It hurts if you get hit in the elbow.
Yeah. Stop.
Yeah, well.
Don Baylor.
Man's game. Yeah, he was a good hitter.
Well, and good manager, too. Good manager.
Coach.
Yeah. A hitting coach for a lot of teams, manager. Colorado is, I think, when I think of him as a manager, is most notably where I think. But also, he was the best ever at taking a pitch in the ribs.
I thought, what's his name? Was it Ron Hunt?
He was good, too.
he's the guy with the record.
But
Baylor got the career record?
Baylor
got hit like 50 times.
Baylor was just like right when you needed it, too. Boom.
Oh, yeah. He was good at that.
Yeah,
does he have the career record?
I don't know.
That's easy enough.
But, yeah, Baylor's great. God, when I was stringing, just getting post-game sound and interviews and whatnot, and he was a manager, he was always a very good soundbite and always a very
Huey Jennings.
Craig real,
Biggio.
Yeah, just a real. Oh, Biggio was good at
Baylor's
it.
Baylor's number four.
Baylor's four?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's what you want to be known for in your Major League Baseball career, but it's an important part of the game if you know how to do it.
But who had the most in a season? I thought that was Ron Hunt.
Could be.
When he was playing for Mauk, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was playing for a.
So there you have it. August 8th, folks, in the books. Been a good, fun show. Lots of stuff. So when August 9th rolls around, of course, we're going to be right here to tell you about it on lineupmedia.fm. For Armand Kachigian, I'm Tony Hubert. And don't forget, subscribe on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, any major podcast outlet will do. And when you do, leave us a 5-star review. And also thanks to our show producers, Andrew Allen, Brian Kroc, and our writer, Corey Smith. So until next time, when August 9th rolls around, we're going to be here to tell you about it at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.